You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Doing a Friday night episode because why not? I don't feel like there's anything groundbreaking, but I think I have mistaken myself at this point as to think that I have to do a podcast only when there is something groundbreaking to cover. But that's not always the case. We can talk a little Michigan football regardless. We'll do that. We'll talk a little Michigan. We'll talk a little Big Ten right here on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of your Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we've got a show on a Friday. That's 3 days in a row. It's been a long time since we've done that. I made no secret that I'd like to get back to that. I just don't feel like I have enough to really cover intelligently without just phoning it in. But I don't feel like I'm phoning it in today because we had a press conference today. We talked to Chris Evans and we talked to Brad Hawkins. So we will start by talking about that. We will talk a little bit about the Big Ten and all of that. And then we'll also cover, we'll get a little bit into just very, very light recruiting at the very end, talking about Michigan got a commitment tonight. So I think we'll at least touch on maybe I'll elucidate more in my Marcus Allen thoughts, and then we'll talk about the Tyler Martin commitment just a little bit. I don't like I said recently to someone, I don't remember who, I said, listen, I'm not a talent evaluator. So yeah, I can, if someone's obviously good, I can tell you they're obviously good. And in the high school level, that's fine. Right. But at the same time, I'm not going to be out there being like, all right, well, he does this great and he does that great and he does this great and he does that great. That's just not, for some people, it's evident, right? Go and see Cam McGrone in high school. Dude's in on almost every tackle. So, I mean, and you can see really when someone's really, really good, it's obvious. In some cases in high school, that's going to be the deal. But otherwise, like a guy I haven't seen in person that just has film, then yeah, probably not going to do like a whole breakdown type thing. But nonetheless, let's just being honest, by the way, just I don't want to pretend that I'm something I'm not and make you guys think that I have opinions on things that I don't. Anyway, let's get to this press conference that we had today with Chris Evans and Brad Hawkins. Here's the thing. I love that we are having these press conferences, but I know it does not have the same feel as even in the spring. It feels so depressing compared to any other time that I've covered Michigan football. It's just so depressing by comparison, because 90% of the questions I feel are off-brand in the sense of off topic, maybe I should say, in the sense of we're not asking, like, seems like you're during a season or in a lead up, you're asking a lot more fun questions of, you know, what teammates are exciting you right now. Well, you know, what excites you about this matchup that you've got coming up? What's and even though there was, you know, Brad Hawkins got asked about Bob Shoop. But like it seems like there's always a lot more fun. And when you're doing it in person, you got like five guys, you can always kind of play one of them off the other, you know, you, in the sense of like, tell me about what you think of this guy. And then you go to that guy and say, hey, they said that you're like this. And then, you know, it ends up being a lot more fun like that. Granted, nothing was more fun to me than covering the 2016 team. I've covered the 2015 through last year, and obviously this year without football at this point. 2016 just was like an all-time super fun. 2015 had its moments too, because you had Graham Glasgow, who was fun, and Drake Johnson was amazing. Like absolutely hilarious. I see Drake every now and again walking down the street. My dog made a fool of herself in front of him, I believe yesterday morning, actually. Did like a flip in the air trying to get a squirrel in a tree that, well, that squirrel didn't exist. I digress. But we talked to Brad, we talked to Chris, and it's a lot of the same stuff that we're getting from everybody. It's just like the tenor of these press conferences right now are, hey man, how you doing? How you holding up? And it's just, I'm so like, it's tiring at this point. Like, they actually are practicing. Why can't we at least pretend that they are? I know people don't care as much right now as they care as if the season had actually happened. I'm sure there's certainly a depression falling in. Lord knows I feel it right now because, I mean, you go outside, it feels like fall. I mean, it's felt like fall the last 4 days. It came out of nowhere that suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, it's fall. Supposed to be 70 for the next week, and yet I still feel like it's going to be a fall version of 70, not that summer version of 70 that we had, what, a week ago? 70, 80? Anyway, it just doesn't feel like we're getting anything that's just like, to some degree, we're getting some of the questions that I want. And I only asked one question. Usually I ask one of each. I only asked Chris Evans, and I asked him about his impressions of Zach Charbonnet and Hassan Haskins. He said while he was away, and granted, we asked a lot about him being away from the game. I've already done that, so I don't understand. This is his first press conference back. I've been at his camp, so I've already asked him these questions, those types of questions, back in January, February, whenever the last time I saw him in the camp setting. Before the pandemic. So he said this about Zach Charbonnet and Hassan Haskins. They both evolved really well. Hassan evolved really well. Zach's first year was here when I got suspended. Zach, the maturity in the pass protections and knowing who to block. My freshman year, everything was Chinese as far as who to block, when to block, and what to do. Hassan is getting better every day, working harder in practice. This COVID stuff really gets you off course, but you got to stay locked in, and that's what he's been doing, everybody's been doing. But, like, other than that, I mean, everything for Chris, I mean, it was just all of the same thing. I mean, I think some of it's necessary. I thought Ashley, not to call out anybody, but, like, I'm calling her out in a good way, Ashley Bastock from Toledo Blade asked, what was it like when he found out that he could come to the team? Who told him? What was his react? Like, that's not something I asked. Like, I mean, I might have asked, you know, how, you know, what were your emotions? But it was more of how did it actually go down? I thought that was really cool. But otherwise, it's, you know, what's your approach to this new offense? He got like three like that. How did he watch Michigan games? Fair question. Did you think about leaving early for the draft? Did you think about going to another school? Fair, but whatever. Did you think about going pro? Like I said, how much football he ended up watching, personal goals for the season. Listen, they're never going to answer that question ever. They aren't going to be like, all right, I want to have 10 touchdowns. They just will not. Been doing this for long enough to know that's a question that's never going to get an answer. What are your personal goals? What are your team goals outside of winning the Big Ten? What are your unit's goals? They're never going to tell you that. What were the protocols for COVID? Come on. Like, we know that. So Chris, who's normally a really awesome interview, we got like nothing from him. Because I just feel like we as the media could do better. I didn't ask anything of Brad. Got the Shoop question. I thought that was a great question. Thought he got a lot better questions in general. Got asked about Daxton Hill. This'll tantalize you a little bit. Daxton Hill's offseason improvement. He said he's growing as a player. He got a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot smarter. He's definitely a guy to watch out for, of course. Seeing what he's done in the previous year, last year, he had a good year. Stepped up in a lot of big games for us. Looking forward to that with him. He's growing every single day. He's looking real good. Both of us do a real good job communicating with each other. I feel like we both cover very well. So versatility with both of us back there playing free safety, Rover, it really doesn't matter between both of us in between. So having him back there is something that helps us out a lot. With his athleticism, his smarts, and his speed, it definitely helps out a lot. That's super exciting to think about. It's tantalizing. It's not just exciting, it's tantalizing. The idea of Brad Hawkins, especially because Brad is working on his speed particularly. Where did he say this? He says, he was asked if he feels like he's being underrated. I thought that was a really good question. He said, yes, I believe so. I've been working very, very hard this offseason, working on my craft, working on my speed, working on my everything that I've been working on to become the best. Yes, I definitely think I'm underrated, and I think I've got a lot to show, and I've got a lot, and I know I've got a lot to show. I'm better than what I put on film, and a lot of things I have to prove as a player. I just got to go out there and do it at this point. That's all it really is. So actually, he was the one asked about team protocols, not Chris Evans. I was wrong on that. But I thought that that those are the highlights, really. Hawkins feels like he's getting faster. Evans, I mean, I don't know what else he's going to say. He just needs to see the field. But I think that when you think about how exciting either of those players can be, because, I mean, Evans got asked, you know, how has he found a role in Josh Gattis's offense? And he didn't, you know, he sidestepped it entirely. So, I mean, those are the types of things that once we finally get him on the field, then we'll have some more exciting things to ask him about. Like, hey, you played, you know, you had a couple plays where you did this and you did that. And right now everything's, you know, it's like the submarine in a way, in the sense of like, hey, don't say anything, but there's no like end in sight. And on top of it, no one's excited for a game. So no one is, there's just not a lot to go on. I don't know. It just feels like it could be a lot more fun than it is. But it is what it is. That's my recap. I would have played you the audio, but my internet connection has just not been great. And there was just really, really glitchy. So hence I read it to you. You can read the transcripts at Wolverine's Wire. Transcribe the whole thing for both. So you can just go there, read the whole deal. All right. So let's move on. There is some Big Ten news. I want to get to that here in a moment because there is definitely something to actually discuss and something that's actually going on, not just rumor mongering. But before we do, I definitely have to tell you a little bit about Built Bar. I mean, we all know how much I love Built Bar. I've been a big fan for quite some time. I know a lot of you out there as well. If you haven't tried it, what are you waiting for? If you put in the go to builtbar.com, put in the promo code locked on, you get $10 off of your first order. I mean, you got to take advantage of that. So many great flavors available. I've been huge on record saying that I love both the toffee almond and almond coconut. The one is particularly like an almond joy, which is totally my jam. But they have other interesting flavors out there, and they're always putting in specialty flavors. Listen, they're low calorie, high protein, low carb. I mean, for similar protein bars out there, you're not going to find something that's as low carb and low calorie. Real chocolate, too. Not gritty. You don't need a whole bottle of water to wash it down. So I am telling you, Built Bar is where it's at. Go to builtbar.com, put in locked on into the promo code, get $10 off. Listen, I put my money where my mouth is multiple times. You should try it out. Let me know what you think about it. You can reach me on Twitter at Isaiah Hole. And this isn't like a real guarantee, but I guarantee it. You'll enjoy it. Not like a money back thing. So just know that. Again, builtbar.com, promo code locked on. All right, we are going to touch a little bit on Michigan's newest commit here in a few moments. But before we do, We do have some Big Ten news to get to. I think that it's exciting because I think we actually have something, right, that is legit happening at this point. And you can kind of parse it together by multiple outlets that have that are actually reputable. Listen, it's been ridiculous with this whole Surratt mania that's gone on. Yeah, I think I don't know who to blame. I think Big Cat from Barstool's to blame for amplifying his voice. Because it's pretty ridiculous that that guy got amplified at all. Random goes out there and says per source and then just starts running with stuff. I mean, some random dude in Cleveland, as if he knows anything, and he takes little kernels of things that are out there. Dan Patrick says October 10th is when they're being discussed, discussing a season. Guess what Surratt comes out and says? Bucknut says, hey, there's going to be a revote. Guess what Surratt comes out and says? Even today, it gets retweeted on my timeline for some dumb reason. A couple different people say the Big Ten is going to have a revote. Granted, he's been saying they're going to have a revote every day as if it's going to be right eventually. And so he says basically what he parrots what the other people are saying, but people are hanging on his every word. Some people, I think a lot of people have caught on, though, that he's a fraud at this point. Listen, this is one of the things when it comes to stuff like this, especially a conference, what have you. Because like last week, he put that the Board of Regents was having an emergency meeting last Saturday. And that it was that they were going to do something about Schlissel. And I spoke to a Michigan Board of Regent who is like, that is crazy. No, it's not happening. So again, for those of you, and I'm sure it's a very small number of you that hang on every word of a guy like him, please don't. Because whether you like them or not, and I have varying opinions of different reporters for different reasons. I don't try to blanket them as, you know, this is a good one, this is a bad one. But I have different reasons for like it or not, like Nicole Auerbach, I don't agree with everything she puts out there because I do feel like, you know, sometimes there is some editorializing, but she is amazing at her job. And she's been amazing at her job for a very long time. There's a reason why she is high up at The Athletic. She was high up at USA Today. I have utmost respect for her. If people like her aren't reporting the same type of stuff that Surratt is, and I'm not talking just her, but like the people that are continuously reporting on the Big Ten. So like her, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, Teddy Greenstein from Chicago Tribune, which I know a lot of Michigan fans don't like, and I totally understand that. I mean, these are the people that are reporting directly on the Big Ten constantly. You know they have sources. If none of them are reporting the same thing, but some Cleveland yokel is, chances are the Cleveland yokel is just making it up as he goes along. But here's the good news. Two of the three people I just mentioned did report something about the Big Ten. So we actually do know kind of what's going on. I read the Teddy Greenstein thing this morning. We will get to that in a moment because it's an opinion column, just kind of lambasting the conference. But here's something a little bit more concrete coming from ESPN, Adam Rittenberg, and Heather Dinich. The Big Ten Medical Subcommittee will present new testing programs Saturday to a subcommittee of conference presidents and chancellors, outlining options that weren't available when the Big Ten postponed the 2020 season last month, conference sources told ESPN. The Big Ten subcommittee, which is comprised of medical experts and athletic directors, will show 8 of the 14 presidents and chancellors. Remember, 9 have to vote yes. At least 4 rapid response antigen tests now on the market that could allow teams to test daily and significantly decrease the amount of necessary contact tracing. It's light years different than it was 5 weeks ago, one conference source said. If the subcommittee of presidents and chancellors approves the report, it can call a full board meeting for the second presentation to the entire group for a vote. But it's also possible both groups have more questions and send the athletic directors and medical experts back to work. So here's what we know from that. The medical side is presenting their case tomorrow, Saturday, September 12th. What happens from there? Then they'll either decide to have a vote or not have a vote. If they are to have a vote, this is where we get to Ketty Greenstein from Chicago Tribune. He said, a vote on whether to restart is coming, but no earlier than Sunday, a source said, and more likely next week. Conference presidents need answers from the medical subcommittee of the Return to Competition Task Force that addresses 4 issues related to COVID-19, rapid testing, contact tracing, heart issues, the surge in cases in some Big Ten states, and on several campuses. So now we know what's happening. That is what's happening. This Mark Schlissel trying to hold the conference hostage, and some teams are going to opt out, some teams are going to opt in. Listen, ignore all of that. This is what's happening. None of this tinfoil hat stuff otherwise, which so many people are just holding as self-evident right now. I don't know if any of you saw the Twitter clash between Jonah Booker, the Ohio State guy, and Anthony Wright. And like, Booker's just like, yeah, this is what we all know. This is common knowledge now. It's like, that's tinfoil hat common knowledge. It might be common knowledge amongst conspiracy theorists, but listen, this is not a Mel Gibson, Julia Roberts movie. There was no way that the Big Ten wasn't going to be methodical about this. As much of a clown show as it's been, and it has been a clown show. I mean, anyone that's listened to this podcast knows why I disagree with the decision. At least in the sense of how hasty it was, how hypocritical I thought a lot of this stuff is. You know, again, no one will know what's right until hindsight. But I think the Big Ten has been an absolute nightmare. And the Pac-12, I think, has been just fine. So I'm just glad that we know exactly what's going on at this point. That's the important thing. Ignore all the noise out there. If someone says that they know and they are just some random, and I understand Sir Yacht has a lot of followers now, but he didn't until he started telling everybody what they wanted to hear. So you got to listen to the people who actually have substantiated themselves in one way or another. Sometimes people are right about stuff, and sometimes people have sources. But for some reason, a lot of these people that just are out there spewing stuff, it isn't even like 3 strikes, you're out. People just hang on and say like, well, I'm still hoping you're right. When people in my line of work that actually are credentialed and then they have stuff wrong, it's weird that they don't get that same benefit of the doubt a lot of times. Because sometimes, you know, I've been wrong about plenty of things. I've had people tell me things that person should know 100% what's going on, and they've been wrong. It happens, but at the same time, that's why you at least got to trust the people close to it, and we don't know that that person's close to it at all. All right, enough of my rambling and ranting. Well, enough of the ranting. The rambling will probably continue. We will talk Tyler Martin and the impact of his commitment here in just a moment. mere 2 hours ago, 2 hours and 20 minutes ago from me saying this, Tyler Martin went on with EJ Holland on YouTube Live and officially committed to the University of Michigan. He told EJ Holland that he's actually been committed to Michigan for over or about a month. So this is just the making it official. I am not at all surprised. I've never talked to Tyler Martin, but I've seen him on the sidelines multiple times. He definitely came with Zach Zinter, maybe without it at times, but he was a guy that was just always on campus. He's from Massachusetts. He is a big guy now. If you didn't know, he's definitely a big dude for being a 2022 kid. If you didn't know about Tyler Martin, this dude is 6'3", 238 pounds as a middle linebacker. Now, I don't know what he runs. I don't know how fast he is, but I definitely know he is early. He went to the same school as Zach Zinter, the Buckingham Brown and Nichols School in Massachusetts. So yet another Massachusetts player. I have lost count of how many guys they have taken from Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, all of the above. Obviously, Michigan loves those guys. Looks good on paper. Rivals is the highest on them. Rivals has him as a 4-star, 106th overall, third best linebacker in 2022, the inside linebacker, and number one guy in the state of Massachusetts. He's number one guy in the state of Massachusetts, according to Rivals, ESPN, and the 24/7 Sports Composite. The 24/7 Sports proprietary is the only service that isn't super high on him, has him as a 3-star, 24th inside linebacker overall, considering he's number three to Rivals inside linebacker, number seven to ESPN. He isn't in the ESPN 300 and the number one guy in the state there. So lots of things to like about that. Michigan's second commit again because Miles Rouser was it, and then he dropped out. We'll see if he gets back in the fold. But again, a good start, even though it's slow compared to Ohio State. Ohio State's got six. Some of these schools have six commitments already. Michigan's on its second. But I'm sure some of these players are going to drop before long. One of the first people I saw that retweeted him, Jaden Gould from Bergen Catholic. So I think they're definitely doing good with some of these guys. And I like some of the guys that I feel like are probably likely to end up at Michigan in the 2022, or the guys that might be a long haul recruitment that Michigan should at least be in the running with, guys like Will Johnson, the legacy. I mean, I just feel like there is a lot to like out there about how this class could come together. A couple 5-stars that are right there in the running. And I think that Michigan has a chance to make 2022 look even better than 2021, which I think is incredible. And I think Martin's a solid addition. And I think anytime you can go out and get. Here's the fun thing, real quick. Remember the narrative that was happening in April, and I was screaming from the top of my lungs, it's April, because people were so upset that Don Brown had no 4-stars. He's got 2 in 22. Because Alex Van Sumeren is also a 4-star. Rivals, again, highest on him at 173 overall. 173, 232 from 24/7 Sports, 242 on ESPN. So they've got 2 4-stars committed on the defensive side of the ball. This is why you can't be reactionary in the recruiting world. All right, that's going to do it for us. We will be back next week. I do want to tell you, if you didn't know already, Locked On College Football. I'm your Tuesday co-host with Zach Blackerby. We'll talk the breadth of college football. I'm excited to watch some games tomorrow. We'll definitely obviously talk about some of what we've seen on that. But also starting this next week on Thursday, not only will you get the mailbag, but you can go on Locked On Big Ten, and I am co-hosting it with Ben Stevens. That's going to be every Thursday from here on in. So you can get more insight. Obviously, I'll be sharing some Michigan insight on that that show as well. So, yeah, that'll do it. We will be back when we are back. Peace.